Elevate your healthcare experience in 2024. Discover the driving forces shaping the healthcare landscape with the NRC Health Experience Perspective. Be the first to access the insights and trends informing the future of healthcare. Register now to join the live national webcast and get first access to the report. Secure your spot at nrchealth.com.
Welcome back to the Becker's Healthcare Podcast, devoted to the people who power U.S. healthcare. I'm Molly Gamble with Becker's and delighted to have you join us for another episode filled with insights from healthcare leaders. Today from Dr. Febi Abraham, Executive Vice President and Chief Strategy and Innovations Officer with Memorial Hermann Health System. Dr. Abraham, welcome. Thanks so much for joining me today. How are you and where does the podcast find you?
Hi, Molly. This is very glad to be talking to you. I am in Houston and today, and we just wrapped up a very amazing rodeo season. It was one of the most attended rodeo seasons in Houston after the pandemic, and we saw record visits of people visiting the rodeo. And personally, I just came back from a time on the slopes right after spring break. Good to be speaking with you today.
Likewise. Thank you so much. That's a dynamic update. Rodeo season and time with the slopes. But out of curiosity, when is the typical rodeo season? Like when does it start and end?
It typically starts at the third week of February and goes on till about the second, third week of March.
Okay. Got it. Well, I'm happy to hear that for Houston and the area that it was a robust one. Dr. Abraham, you know, at Memorial Hermann, can you get us up to speed on what you are spending most of your time and energy on as of late? What's commanding most of your attention lately?
Yeah, as you know, the healthcare environment nationally and within Houston is evolving quite rapidly. We have we're going through an environment where we're spending almost $4.5 trillion on healthcare expenditures. And as you know, the outcomes that we have in the United States are not among the best. In fact, if you stack us against the top OECD nations, we lag on pretty much most of the critical metrics. So we spend more, we don't get a whole lot of outcomes in relation to that. That said, we're investing a whole lot in innovations, patient experience, and generally the satisfaction have areas of opportunity, as we all can attest to. So those are some of the things that dovetail into where I'm spending most of my time. And specifically what that means is I'm focused on for the system and to shape its strategy, building healthier communities for now and generations to come, which is Memorial Hermann's vision. And in support of that vision, we really are sort of focused on A, improving access for all the Houstonians and the communities we serve. B, how do we sort of improve our value proposition to generate the next generation outcomes that the communities have expected of us and we've been doing for several years. But on top of that, to, as I was mentioning earlier, to reduce the total cost of care and keep people healthy as opposed to just offering sick care. So expanding the remit of our mandate to go beyond really awesome clinical care and hospitals to have more access points into the community where people can rely on our expertise to take care of them and their health needs, not only when they require sick care. Mm-hmm. Third area that I'm focused on is to really improve digitization and the use of technology and AI in the industry. That can come in many ways, right? One, it can improve the productivity of our workforce, whether it's a clinical workforce, that is a doctor or a nurse, an administrative workforce, somebody who's working in billing or collections or, in the call center, or somebody who's actually doing in the operational workforce, which is, taking care of the facilities, whether they are clinics or are hospitals. And we can attest that AI, technology, and digitization can not only improve the productivity of all of that and provide a seamless workforce experience, which can help reduce burnout challenges, which we know is rife in the industry. And as we learned through the pandemic, was a big topic that we all as health system leaders have been working on. But at the same time, it can also help improve the patient experience and their navigation of their healthcare journey, both in terms of keeping their health, but also in how they engage with health systems. So we've been making at Memorial Hermann a lot of investments and partnerships and innovation bets in the leveraging how technology is further integrated across our workflows so that we can improve both our productivity as well as the patient experience. And then the fourth area I'm spending a lot of time on is how do we sort of provide a community health focus that can improve the health of all Houstonians, not just the ones who can come and access to it through a insurance product, but who are underserved, who maybe don't have insurance today and are not taking appropriate care of their health. How do we better support them through the right tools so that they can take care of their health more? And in order to do all of these things, we have defined, you know, what are some of those big priorities that we want to do? How do we do that? And we've really expanded the range of how we work with external partners as well as invest in internal capabilities to provide some of these things I mentioned. We've launched something called an innovation hub, which I'm truly passionate about, in trying to test some of these solutions in a small scale and understanding better how they work before we sort of expand them across the platform in a large scale. And we've also launched an really rapidly scaled up a direct investments platform where we support many of these innovation companies, innovative companies in their remit to build products and solutions that solve some of these pain points.
I mean, Dr. Abraham, there's a lot there, and I'm going to dig into a few of these things in greater detail in just a moment. But I should also remind listeners and check in with you on the fact that you joined Memorial Hermann and are now heading up innovations and strategy after more than a decade with McKinsey. And I was curious too, before we dig into some of the points you raised about where you're spending time, you know, what did you find to be the most noticeable differences about healthcare strategy moving from the consulting or advisor side of the aisle to actually being in the game at a large integrated health system like Memorial Hermann?
Actually, you touched on a very critical component of that answer. It's a great question, Molly, in terms of being in the game. So I fundamentally believe that in my role here relative to an awesome career I had at McKinsey, it's really about the skin in the game and sort of being the ability to be end-to-end. So work with our leaders, our clinicians, our operators to understand some of their real unmet needs and pain points, understand the community's needs, concept ideas, design programs that will solve some of those challenges or unmet needs and pain points, see how they're working, see which ones we want to scale and which ones are working well that really we could sort of drive up more focus on, which ones perhaps were bets that didn't quite pan out the way we want, and therefore we may want to alter the way we want to work. That whole end-to-end journey from soup to nuts is something I'm really passionate about in my current role. At McKinsey, we will work with clients a lot in sort of shaping that end-to-end journey and advise them, but there is a lot more ownership in this role that I have had to experience. The second thing I would call out is the change management aspect of it. A lot of what works and does not work in healthcare, as we can all attest among your listener group and what I personally experience, is about the adoption of great ideas. And to truly understand what drives adoption, what are some of the barriers to adoption, how do you work through that, is something that I've truly relished in this role. And it really comes down to setting up the flywheel of innovation. How do you sort of start with some few wins that rally the focus and inspiration and inspire the workforce and the patients to try out some of these innovations? That then creates more momentum for us to sort of scale a further set of ideas. That flywheel of innovation and sort of trying to sort of foster that as a mechanism to drive change management is another aspect I've enjoyed in this role versus what I had in McKinsey. Some of the core components of otherwise thinking about the big value creative ideas, thinking about what really moves the needle, thinking about a objective and highly critical thinking based analytical approach to how we come to make decisions are all those things that I've continued to port from my prior experience at McKinsey, and which has been a hugely helpful foundation for me as I've transitioned into this role.
Mm-hmm. And you had also mentioned, I mean, you're touching on a lot of different things. You mentioned improving digitization and AI, improving workforce productivity, a new innovation hub, this community health focus, improving the health of all Houstonians. What is your team like behind these efforts? Do you have a distinct team for strategy innovation? Is there one combined unit? Can you talk more about the people around these efforts and also how you lead them, a glimpse into your leadership style, if you'll let us?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, so along the way, we've built a team of just under a dozen practitioners. They cut across all of those pillars, which are strategy, strategic planning, which defines the what is it that the business is going to focus on. Then when it comes to the how and the why, we've got a few execution arms. One of them is a corporate development umbrella, which includes joint ventures, M&A, strategic partnerships, working with external parties to bring some of those capabilities on the what that I defined. Second is an innovation hub, where we sort of take some of those unmet needs and pain points and sort of really map solutions that solve those unmet needs and pain points, test them in a small contained capacity, whether it's one hospital or a handful of clinics, learn from how those design phases are going to understand how best to scale them across the platform and what value do they create and how do they achieve the objectives that we are seeking. We have a direct investment arm, which is the third arm, which think of it as a venture or a growth equity vehicle that supports great businesses that are creating solutions that are aligned with our core philosophy on how healthcare in the future needs to be experienced, accessed, and delivered. And from that perspective, we've created a focus on not only working with some of those companies to bring those innovations to our market, but also thinking about, you know, how do we support the growth strategic journey as investors and shape the products that we like. So we're having that dual alignment of shaping the strategy for the products that we then eventually bring into the market. And we also have a focus on strategic market insights, which takes a granular data-based approach to understanding the various value pools in health and healthcare, how those are evolving, what's shrinking, what's growing, and where best the system needs to be positioned to drive that growth. So these are some of the areas. These are the five areas with the strategy and strategic planning at the vanguard of it, the three execution arms and strategic market insights that the team is focused on. There is an expanded member base of the team as well, which includes members of our service lines, our operating teams, and other functional teams who provide a lot of input and passion and energy into a strategic focus area. So that's very much, as is any strategy team, a collaborative effort that brings together a range of practitioners, some that are dedicated and some that are brought in from various functional groups. And we work collaboratively to shape some of these objectives. As it pertains to the team itself, it's a diverse team with a range of experience. Some are deep healthcare practitioners with lots of experience in life sciences and even on the clinical side, we have a physician in the team. Some have got very new experiences in healthcare. They spend their careers in other industries like oil and gas, which we like because we like the diversity and fresh eyes that the range of our team members bring. Some are relatively early in their journey, as in their fewer years from college, and are sort of starting their journey in healthcare and shaping their long-term aspirations. Some have been in the industry for long, and they come from diverse range of backgrounds as well. That includes working at health systems, working in management consulting firms and investment banking firms, and as I mentioned, even a clinician background. As it pertains to my leadership style, for me, the fundamental way in which I lead is to start with vision and big, hairy, audacious goals. It's very important for me and my team to clearly aspire and define what we define as the North Star for why we are doing what we're doing and what great looks like. It's something that I hold myself and my team accountable for in laying that North Star. How are we going to make a difference in how healthcare is accessed, experienced, and delivered? What are some of those critical objectives that we will that will fundamentally change that healthcare experience of the future? So start with that vision, which creates a very aspirational and inspirational mindset for the team members that we can then take into defining a implementation pathway. And from that implementation pathway, I really want there to be transformative change. So every year, we want to look back and say, hey, what is the major difference we have not only done in terms of the goals and vision, but in terms of actual achieved objectives? How are we focusing and prioritizing our time in terms of achieving some of those big rocks? And how are we sort of meaningfully making a difference into those objectives? The third area that I really sort of focus on is the focus on innovation. We should sort of be willing to lean forward and take risks, make bets, and not chase incrementalism and in the spirit of those big, hairy, audacious goals. So we need to try to come up with an alternative solution and not always be limited by the by what is available and think beyond in our art of the possible, as I frame it to them and to myself. And finally, we should do this in a highly collaborative way where we're able to challenge each other, challenge all the assumptions. One of the narratives I often quote to them and to my team and really want to live by and live by that is around this notion of, the devil's advocate. You always have to think about what are the core assumptions that you're making when you're trying to make a decision? What are those assumptions are most sensitive to potentially a different type of answer and understanding how you can critique those assumptions and therefore, really understand the range of possible outcomes and be very deliberate in the path you take. And as you do that in a way that is work hard and play hard. So have fun. You want to make this a journey of high impact, but also a journey of lots of joy and fun.
Mm-hmm. Well, I mean, it sounds like I can hear from your response initially, the BHAGs and the vision are very much intact. It sounds like your team is a masterful one, also with a collaborative and then focused on innovation leader. But, Dr. Abraham, I also just want to check in with you in closing here. One other question I had, lots of focus on AI, as we've heard, lots of focus on virtual capabilities, meeting more people where they are. But I also wanted to see what Memorial Hermann might have planned or in the works around capacity with its facilities in coming years. Are there any current plans of note related to capital investments or expansions that our listeners should know about?
Yeah, great question. As our communities are growing, as our population is aging, and then here in Texas, we're blessed with a good weather, great business and living environments with a diverse bank of people. We're starting to see or continuing to see lots of growth in the populations we serve. And to support that growing population, both in the central Houston area and in our suburbs, we are continuing to expand our footprint to support that growing population and really expanding the access to meet the consumer where they are. For critical services, we want to be closer to where they live and where they work. And for things that are more differentiated, we have options for them to come to a higher level of care, for example, an academic medical center level of care as is required for some of these procedures. So we are really expanding our capacity across the markets we serve when it comes to hospitals. But I'll also add that we're doing the same as it pertains to improving access from all those mechanisms that I was describing. We've tripled our urgent care footprint in the last couple of years. We've created, alongside one of our partners, one of the largest home health and hospice franchises in South Texas. We've created a very novel population genomics program. So we are trying to meet the consumer and send the right patient to the right site of care and provide an access point that includes virtual, retail, urgent care, home-based care, a lot of home-based options, and then facility-based care, ambulatory surgical centers, a lot of outpatient infrastructure. So you'll see when you see Memorial Hermann's presence in the communities, we have 17 hospitals, which are continuing to grow to your question, but we also have, just under 300 care locations and over 6,000 physicians practicing as part of our clinically integrated network to support that growing population base, leveraging the assets I referred to.
Dr. Phoebe Abraham, Executive Vice President, Chief Strategy and Innovations Officer with Memorial Hermann Health System. I want to thank you so much for being our guest today, for getting me up to speed on the big, hairy, audacious work you're leading at the system, which, like you said, 17 hospitals, more than 300 locations. Dr. Abraham, any closing thoughts or parting thoughts you'd like to share with our listeners today?
We covered a range of it. One of the things that I'm starting to sort of spend a lot of time on, and I'm sure my peers and colleagues will find it equally illuminating and illustrating. We talked about AI, but there is another dimension which I'm truly passionate about, which is around this notion of integration of medical care with other aspects of how health is going to be delivered. So think about life sciences and the pharmacy side. Think about food as medicine. Think about transportation access, various social determinants of health that are required to keep the patients healthy. And as you sort of peel the layers of the onion across each one of those buckets, there are lots of innovations and trends that we as leaders of the health system will need to integrate. And particularly for me this year, the focus inspiration is drawn through the life sciences vertical. We're seeing a lot of innovation coming in on the product side with new drugs that are solving specific problems like what we've heard with GLP-1 drugs when it comes to obesity, but there's also a lot of great innovations in cell and gene therapies and drugs that solve the Alzheimer's challenge. And how do we sort of stay at the forefront of bringing those innovations and looking at the entirety of the medical experience is important. And so we are trying to understand that space better and linking the two, as well as in the pharmacy benefit management space, in order to sort of create a holistic medical plus non-medical, i.e. pharmacy and food and other factors that I mentioned, to sort of drive that total health narrative.
Mm-hmm. A forward-looking thought for all of us to keep in mind. I think if the GLP-1 is any indicator of what can be unlocked through advancements, like you said, with gene therapies and other drugs around neurodegenerative disease, we're in for a really interesting decade ahead of us, Dr. Abraham. So again, thank you so much for being our guest. I hope we can do this again soon and check back in with you again in the year ahead.
Molly, it was a pleasure talking to you, and thanks to everyone who was tuned in.